Yes, good morning, all, and welcome each one of you here this morning to be here together. It's a blessed opportunity to be here with as brothers and sisters and with our families. And thank you for the thoughts shared there, Mose, of and is the grace of God seen in our lives, and how we need the grace of God. I enjoyed very much the time spent together the last couple of days in the bake sale, the benefit sale there, and yeah, it was a blessed time. And as I was there, I couldn't help but noticing all the children and the young men, young ladies growing up, and see another generation rising up right before our eyes, and felt led to share a little bit about the need for about the generation of children coming after us, and the need we've all seen examples of one generation of Christianity, and our heart is to see a generation after us thrive and prosper in the Lord. And I thought we would look at a few examples in Scripture here this morning, in the life of Caleb and his spirit of overcoming, conquering in the land of Canaan, and the life of Caleb and his children. And the thought I had was, you know, are we conquering or are we quitters? Are we conquerors or are we quitters here? How does it find us here today? And I wanted to look at some examples of that here this morning, briefly here, and as a opening meditation here. If we open your Bibles there, well, Romans 8:37 says that, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." So we're not called to be, in the New Testament, we're not called to just to be conquerors, but we're more than conquerors. So, but if you open your Bibles, if you have your Bible with you, and you open to Numbers chapter 13 there. But there's an example there of Caleb, and it goes on and gives some insights into his life and his later on in his years, and even his children, his second generation. And I would use that as an example here that we'll look at. It's amazing how fast children grow up, one generation overtakes another, just time and time again. And as I get a little older, I just notice that more and more sharply as I observe that and see my children. And the need, I'd like to speak to us as fathers also, as a need, the need for us fathers to recognize how quickly this happens and how this is happening before our very eyes here at this church here. Another generation is coming on, but also would like to speak to the young people about the need for your generation to become engaged in the work of the kingdom. So those two things were just my burden, my heart here today. I've been noticing how quietly but surely this is happening before our eyes. And all we as fathers have to do is just nothing, you know, but just grow complacent, lose our fervency, and focus on making ourselves comfortable and feeding our natural appetites instead of the focus of you know, does God get the glory in this, in my life? Is God receiving the glory He deserves? Is Christ in the church the preeminent thing in my life that my children see? And in the life of Caleb there, we'll just look at some examples there. Israel was coming into the land of Canaan there. They had just crossed the Jordan River. And they crossed the Jordan and they... I believe they had crossed the Jordan at this point. And But, you know, here they were, this land, this vast land of Canaan before them. And what were they, you know, what were they going to do, you know? And so so God told them there in Numbers chapter 13, the Lord, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that thou mayest search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, and every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. So God told them to search out the land. And God's heart was there, I think, that they would search it out to prepare to possess it. As you read on there, you read that it became more of a spy thing. They were going as spies. We often refer to them as the 12 spies, and I think Scripture probably does. But I think the mentality there was God told them to search it out, but they. 10 of them went in there as spies to see maybe if God really told them the truth, compared to Caleb and Joshua, who went in there to search it out and to prepare to take possession of that land of Canaan. Now, we understand the land of Canaan to be a type of the deeper Christian life, not just we look for a future Canaan, a future heavenly home, but today I believe Canaan, we need to see that as a fullness of the Christian life. And are we living there? Are we dwelling? Have we possessed what God wants us to possess and for us and our children? And so, big difference there between searching it out and, well, the ten of the men grew very fearful. And they decided that God had not been telling them the truth about that land of Canaan. And one of the saddest stories in the Scriptures there is how they got fearful and they wept that night when the spies came back. And 10 of them gave an evil report. They said, we can't take this land. There's giants. There's enemies. And it says that all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. But except for Joshua and Caleb, they said... Caleb, it says there that he, verse chapter 14 of Numbers there, verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people and before Moses and said, let us go at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So you see Caleb there was filled with the eyes of faith, and he believed that God, he believed in that God that the Scripture says that cannot lie. He believed that. And so Caleb is a beautiful example there. His name indicates a heart, all heart. His name would indicate... the meaning of his name, our fervency, our heart, and he fully lived up to his name there, as just being a man of heart there, but heart towards God. So we go on there, following his life. So we jump over to Joshua, and the chapter of Joshua there. We'll spend some time in Joshua chapter 14 and 15 here. We'll read more of the life of Caleb there. So here we find Joshua here, and they were beginning to divide up Canaan, or they called it their inheritance. They were beginning to divide it up. And each tribe got this area, and I don't know how they divided it up, but they did it in a just way that everyone was satisfied with their inheritance. And many of those areas were unsettled with violent Canaanite heathen tribes and nations to subdue and overcome. And we'll read, start in there in Joshua chapter 14, verse 9, where Caleb said, it was his turn. He stood before Joshua there, and he recounted how, verse 9 of chapter 14, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. So Caleb recounted how, if I'll back up there a little bit, but Caleb, Israel, because of their unbelief, they were to wander for 40 years in the wilderness there, and only Joshua and Caleb came through that and saw with their eyes Canaan there. Because of their faith, the rest of them, and the scripture says that their carcasses had to fall and die in the wilderness one by one. Joshua and Caleb, we see Caleb here. He says that, and he recounted very vividly. Here it is, verse 9 there. He said, verse 10, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And we see here some things we'll look at in Caleb's life. He didn't forget, you know, the promises of God. He was still as fervent and he had not forgotten that promise of God giving him an inheritance in the land of Canaan. And he waited patiently for 45 years. And he said, God hath kept me alive. You know, think about how he saw all the people, one by one, perish in the wilderness there. Even the other 10 spies, you know, one by one, they fell, they died. But Caleb says here that God hath kept me alive. He saw the deliverance of God, and he experienced it. It made his heart glad, and he patiently waited there. Now we find him 85 years old, and yet looking for his inheritance there. And verse 11 says, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. And if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. So he said, I want this mountain. I don't want an easy part of this land here. I want this mountain, this mountain that God promised me 40 years ago. I want it, you know. And interesting to note there. He's just his faith had not dimmed at all, you know. Hebrews 2:1 says that therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed. We ought to give the more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let these promises slip. And we see here that he gave very earnest heed there to that. Um, 13, verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. 14, and Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And Hebron there, by the way, that was where Abraham had dwelt there also. Could be some, I think Sarah was buried there. Could be part of the reason that Caleb wanted that land. He wanted to retake that land. Abraham's altars probably still stood there in some areas. But he badly wanted that land. A beautiful example of not being a quitter, but being a conqueror. So we'll jump ahead then to chapter 15 here. And it's chapter 15, verse 16. And we move on in time there. And Caleb, chapter 15, verse 16. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Achsa, my daughter, to wife." And we see there Caleb, he saw, you know, he wasn't just living for himself there. He saw more ground to be taken there. He saw a city that needed to be taken there. And he threw out a challenge to the young men there of the coming generation, and said, "There's land to be taken here. Will you take it?" You know, he encouraged on the next generation. Something that I wanted to point out here. He didn't just say, "Oh, boys, stand back. We're going to take care of this." You know, he said, "Young men, where's a young man that will rise up to the challenge and take this city?" Verse 17, "And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Achsa, his daughter, to wife." So we see a young man by the name of Othniel that rose up, and he took the city. He was encouraged by Caleb there, and we see the blessing of a faithful. Of the torch being passed there, faithfulness and going on, not just becoming quitters, but to go on conquering. Verse 18, "And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field." So his daughter here, she came to Caleb there. And after this, and she asked of her father a field. It says she lighted off her ass, or her donkey. She bowed down off her donkey for her father, and she asked her father for a field. You know, and just considering the young people in here, you know, have you considered? Are you looking for a field? You know, I'm sure you are. I'm sure you're all looking for. God, where can I serve? What is my purpose? Where do you want me to serve in this life? You know, but have you considered the field? The fields are wide open. You know, where would God have you to serve? And you know, there's a lot of fields awaiting. You know, young people today. We live in a time where we have freedoms that are almost unbelievable to other. In times past, there's been Christians of the 1400s, 1500s that couldn't imagine the freedoms that we enjoy today, and the opportunities that exist. So the fields, you know, I just want to encourage young people that the fields are wide open, and you know, I'm not here to say what your field should look like, but you should earnestly pray that that God would open up, which would point the way to you. And whatever field you choose, you know, do it for the glory of God. You know, whatever it might, it may be, whatever, you know, do it for the glory of God. We're going to read on here where she lighted off her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What wouldest thou?" Verse 19, and he answered, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And so for this part of this inheritance that she was, her and her husband were given, it appears that it was a dry land. It was a difficult land. And the fields that you choose today, you will run into obstacles. If God is in it, Satan will be there to hinder it, and you'll find it to be a dry land at times, and you'll need water. And so she came and asked him for some springs of water, and it says that he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. It's a picture there of you know, she, that generation, the younger generation, you know, there's much for the asking in the Christian life. If you just ask and seek, there's plenty. You know, there's upper springs and there's lower springs. He gave her more than what she asked for. And a beautiful promise there. She got much more than what she had asked for. Now, those upper springs, I believe, I'm not sure if those were physical springs there in that region there, or I can also imagine there could be a type of the upper springs being the heavenly blessings, the spiritual blessings, but also the nether springs, the blessings of the earthly blessings of just applying themselves to being overcomers and moving forward in this life, not just being quitters, but to being conquerors. They found the springs of heaven opened up, and the earthly springs, all earthly blessings also. Very interesting scripture, passage of scripture there that I've seen for some time now, and felt led to share on them here. But my heart was just to encourage the young people here to that there's fields wide open, and we as parents we can do much, but still you will need to diligently come in, become that to be a conqueror. You will need to have that same experience that Caleb had, of just finding God, finding that faith, and you will need to fight those battles. There are some things that we can do, you know. May we as parents lead you, as fathers here. My heart is that we would set some clear direction. That our lives would have clarity first and foremost. That we would not discourage you from the fields that God is maybe opening for you, and you're wondering, do I dare to believe God's promises? And I may we as fathers encourage you, and it is our heart to this past week working together with the young people was a great blessing. I appreciate the heart of the elders here to do that bake sale is not just an outreach to the community, but also just a working together and learning from one another. And we need that desperately. I'll close here with a few verses here. There's a few verses I found here. It was a delightful little study for me here. But you know, Proverbs 31 speaks about the young lady, about the lady that says that she, the virtuous woman, says that she considers a field and buyeth it also. So this is not just a, a manly vision here, but Scripture teaches that you young ladies, there's fields open. There's fields open to you. And the virtuous woman, it says, she considers these fields and she buys it. And I'm not here to say, you know, what these fields look like. But they can be very practical fields, right before our eyes. But to do it for the glory of God, make sure that God receives the glory from this field that you choose. There's a few verses here in Psalm 78 here that we'll look at. Speaks of a generation. Verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard, known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, shewing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. This word, shewing to the generation to come, that word, if we look at that, it has its roots in inscribing or etching to a generation to come, etching in their hearts, inscribing His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. And, you know, etching and inscribing, that can be difficult at times. And when we etch and inscribe things, it generates heat oftentimes and resistance, and it's not easy, but just showing into a generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Verse 5, for He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. So may we just be faithful in seeing that as my heart here. A few more verses here in Hebrews. Chapter 3, verse 8. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. It's a picture of Caleb there, holding fast. We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. That rock of finding of Christ and His Word, finding salvation, the wonder of forgiveness, that we not lose sight of those promises that we receive there through His Word and through believing in that finished work of the cross. And yes. So, just a little exhortation there. I encourage us as fathers, me first of all, but also our children, fathers and mothers, I should say. I think we'll just close with that. I would just thank you all for listening, and look forward to hear what Brother Allen has to share with us. And we are here today with our newborn there for the first Sunday, and it's a special time, and I wanted to thank the church for all the meals and blessings you've given us. 2 weeks. God bless you all.